Our reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through to 17. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour." It's the third Sunday of Lent, and our Old Testament reading from Exodus 20 brings us to another of God's covenants with his people. So far, we've looked at two of God's covenants, one with Noah and one with Abraham. And now this is God's covenant with Israel, what's often referred to as a Sinai covenant. I'm sure that you'll have immediately recognised the reading as the Ten Commandments, and they're at the heart of this covenant. The Ten Commandments were revealed by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, and they were basically a set of rules set by God for the Israelites to follow as their part of the covenant. Prior to this point, God has freed them from slavery and he's given them protective status. In return, they were being asked to obey the commandments. They were simple in terms of being short and they were to the point. And that would mean that they should be really easily understood and lack any ambiguity. Now, as you read on in the books of Exodus and then in Deuteronomy, God actually ends up adding further instructions for Moses. And these basic commandments are added to. But the commandments themselves, this covenant, never change. I don't know what your thoughts are on rules. The human response to rules tends to vary quite dramatically. Some will follow rules to the letter, I have to say, that's me, often to the annoyance of the people around me. That kind of person will never stray from the directive. They will stick to it no matter what, even if it annoys people. Others rebel completely and they struggle to follow any rules at all. Whereas many, they treat rules like pick and mix. They follow the rules that they agree with, but they fail to do so when they don't agree with them or don't see the point of them. And of course, then there's a big bracket somewhere in between all of those where you tend to stick to the rules, but occasionally you're flexible around them. And what I suggest you do to picture these different personalities and the responses to rules is think about the speed limits on our roads. Think about the manner of driving around speed limits, your friends' attitudes to speed limits, and you'll find every single one of those responses I've just described. Now, I imagine that the Israelites must have had a similar reaction to God's commandments. Some will have followed them to the letter as best they could. Some will have been flexible around applying them. Some will have ignored them completely. And many will have had a pick and mix approach to them. They certainly didn't stick to them as we go on to read in the Bible, in the further books. Now, when God gave the Israelites what was basically a rule book for life, he didn't do so to restrict their freedoms, to make life hard. That wouldn't have made any sense, would it? Given that the commandments were part of the deal to keep them out of slavery, not create a new way of binding them, of holding them prisoner. Not at all. The Ten Commandments were designed by God to achieve freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from emotional and physical harm, freedom from any hurt caused by people doing horrible things to one another. And imagine it. Imagine the world as God intended it. Imagine a world where everyone sticks to the commandments, where no one kills, no one steals, no one commits adultery, no one lies. And that's just four of the ten. Now, I've chosen those four because they tend to be pretty obvious in most circles. I imagine that most people listening to this are keen to stick to those, certainly as we read them on face value, and we'll come to explore that in a moment or two. But what about some of the others? Have no other gods, don't create idols, don't use the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath holy, honour your mother and father. I think these are where we tend to move into more of a pick and mix mentality, if not as individuals, then certainly as a society. It remains socially unacceptable, for example, to steal. But blasphemy, taking the Lord's name in vain, well, that's become pretty much acceptable, I'd say. If you listen to radio, even for just an hour, or watch the TV for an hour before the watershed, when swear words are meant to be banned, you can hear a whole host of blasphemous phrases. It's like society has replaced some of those swear words that are banned after the watershed with blasphemy because that's okay. It's not okay though, is it? Because breaking any of the Ten Commandments is sinning. Sinning is being disobedient to God. Now, as we've looked at in the last 2 weeks, we do need to consider the Old Testament covenants in light of the New Covenant, the Easter story, that knowledge that Jesus came into the world, God coming as man, dying on the cross and defeating death through resurrection, so that sin can no longer separate us from a relationship with God. We are free from condemnation due to our wrongdoing. Now, the fact that God did this for us can lead some to question the relevance of the Ten Commandments. It can lead to people saying, well, they're not relevant today. It can lead to an argument that we don't have to adhere to them because they were simply made under the Old Covenant and they've been superseded by the New Covenant. Apart from the fact that the commandments were given by God out of love, designed to provide a framework for all time for successful living, something that doesn't change from generation to generation, God's really clear about that. Jesus himself made very clear that the Ten Commandments are for all of us forever. In Matthew 5, verses 17 to 18, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." So they are relevant. They're important. Jesus goes on to actually teach the Ten Commandments. Take a look at Matthew 5. But what he does is Jesus takes the commandments a step further. He instructs that the sin, the wrongdoing, disobedience to God occurs through our unhealthy thoughts as well as our actual actions. When Jesus commanded, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, Matthew 22 verses 37, Jesus wasn't replacing the original Ten Commandments, but he was saying that if we stick to these two big ones, loving God and loving one another, then we will naturally adhere to all the others, and we'll even avoid the ill feelings that leads up to them. Of course, these higher standards set by Jesus are not easy, and it's really important to remember that when we mess up, we can give thanks and praise that Jesus has dealt with all our mess ups once and for all on the cross. We don't have to be tied into guilt and fear based on our wrongdoing. Committing ourselves to a life which follows Jesus and God's rules for life isn't about obeying out of fear of the consequences. We don't stick to them because we're afraid of punishment. We also mustn't be complacent about whether we follow them or not because of the new covenant. We simply strive to obey the commandments and those higher level commandments created by Jesus in the knowledge that our loving Father wants the very, very best for us. And when we obey the commandments, we get the very best out of life. And the easiest way to think of it is to think of the perfect parent, a parent whose family rules are there to keep their children safe, happy, and thriving. And children then stick to the rules because they really want to do so out of love for their parent, to please their parent, to strengthen the relationship with their parent. Now, I know that's idealistic when we think about human families, because that is rarely the case. But think of it in terms of that perfect relationship that God has created for us to share with him. He creates rules to keep us safe, happy, thriving, and in a strong relationship with him.